The passage I'm reading from the Dharma Bums is from chapter 15 and starts on page 110. It begins where Rosie is talking to Ray Smith after Ray Smith has been asked by Cody to watch Rosie for the night. "Why do you try to cut your arms like that? Isn't that a mean thing to do to yourself?" "Because I don't want to live. I'm telling you, there's going to be a big new revolution of police now." "No, there's going to be a rucksack revolution," I said, laughing, not realizing how serious the situation was. In fact, Cody and I had no sense. We should have known from her arms how far she wanted to go. "Listen to me," I began, but she wouldn't listen. "Don't you realize what's happening?" she yelled, staring at me with big, wide, sincere eyes, trying by crazy telepathy to make me believe that what she was saying was absolutely true. She stood there in the kitchen of that little apartment with her skeletal hands held out in supplicatory explanation, her legs braced, her red hair all frizzly, trembling and shuddering and grabbing her face from time to time. "It's nothing but bullshit," I yelled, and suddenly I had the feeling I always got when I tried to explain the Dharma to people. Alva, my mother, my relatives, girlfriends, everybody, they never listened. They always wanted me to listen to them. They knew. I didn't know anything. I was just a dumb young kid and an impractical fool who didn't understand the serious significance of this very important, very real world. "The police are going to swoop down and arrest us all, and not only that, but we're all going to be questioned for weeks and weeks, and maybe even years, till they find out all the crimes and sins that we've been committed. It's a network. It runs in every direction. Finally, they'll arrest everybody in North Beach, and even everybody in Greenwich Village, and then Paris, and then finally they'll have everybody in jail. You don't know. It's only the beginning." She kept jumping at sounds in the hall, thinking the cops were coming. "Why don't you listen to me?" I kept pleading. But each time I said that, she hypnotized me with her staring eyes and almost had me for a while believing in what she believed from the sheer weight of her complete dedication to the discrimination her mind was making. "But you're getting these silly convictions and conceptions out of nowhere. Don't you realize all this life is just a dream? Why don't you just relax and enjoy God? God is you, you fool. Oh, they're going to destroy you, Ray, I can see it. They're going to fetch all the religious squares too and fix them good. It's only begun. It's all tied in with Russia, though they won't say it. And there's something I heard about the sun's rays and something what happens while we are all asleep. Oh, Ray, the world will never be the same." "What world? What difference does it make? Please stop. You're scaring me." "By God, in fact, you're not scaring me, and I won't listen to another word." I went out, angry, brought some wine, and ran into Cowboy and some other musicians and ran back with the gang to watch her. "Have some wine. Put some wisdom in your head." "No, I'm laying off the lush. All that wine you drink is rot gut. It burns your stomach out. It makes your brain dull. I can tell there's something wrong with you. You're not sensitive. You don't realize what's going on." "Oh, come on. This is my last night on Earth," she added. The musicians and I drank up all the wine and talked till about midnight, and Rosie seemed to be all right now, lying on the couch, talking, even laughing a bit, eating her sandwiches and drinking some tea I'd brewed her. The musicians left, and I slept on the kitchen floor in my new sleeping bag. But when Cody came home that night and I was gone, she went up on the roof while he was asleep and broke the skylight to get jagged bits of glass to cut her wrist, and was sitting there bleeding at dawn when a neighbor saw her and sent for the cops, and when the cops ran out on the roof to help her, that was it. She saw the great cops who were going to arrest us all and made a run for the roof edge. The young Irish cop made a flying tackle and just got a hold of her bathrobe, but she fell out of it and fell naked to the sidewalk 6 flights below. The musicians who lived downstairs in a basement pad and had been up all night talking and playing records heard the thud. They looked out the basement window and saw that horrible sight. Man, it broke us up. We couldn't make the gig that night. They drew the shades and trembled. Cody was asleep. When I heard about it the next day, when I saw the picture in the paper showing an X on the sidewalk where she had landed, one of my thoughts was, and if she had only listened to me, was I talking so dumb after all? Are my ideas about what to do so silly and stupid and childlike? Isn't this the time now to start following what I know to be true? And that had done it. The following week, I packed up and decided to hit the road and get out of that city of ignorance, which is the modern city. I said goodbye to Jaffe and the others and hopped my freight back down the coast to L.A. Poor Rosie. She had been absolutely certain that the world was real and fear was real, and now what was real? At least, I thought, she's in heaven now and she knows.